Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Steve Stone.
When I started out, and Harry was my partner, he said to me, "You will find your identity." It turned out that I felt that my identity was going to be to teach as many people as I could the game of baseball.
White Sox TV analyst.
Being an analytics guy, I would have known that a sub-6-foot-tall right-handed starting pitcher in the major leagues, the odds were infinitesimal. But if there was a contest that had a winner, I could never understand why it shouldn't be me.
Social media guy.
I've been blocking more than Tom Brady's line.
Steve Stone with Bernstein and Holmes on The Score.
Steve Stone is on Twitter, at Steve Stone. The White Sox TV analyst joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Dan. Hello, Lawrence. How's everything today?
Things are good. The weather is not bad yet, although supposedly later it will be. But, you know, everything is fine. Everything good on your side?
Yeah, we're just moving along swimmingly. This has been one of the strangest of any type of seasons that I can recall, because we start out without scoring any runs, and then it compounds from there. So we all know what's happening. It's very difficult. I know it's very difficult for the fans. I also have to realize, at one point, being down there in the dugout and in the locker room and on the field as a player, I know for the players, it's very frustrating. And you could pretty much see it in Andrew Vaughn when he hit that line drive with the bases loaded and it was caught. I think the frustration for him and for a lot of people down there kind of boiled over. So, yeah, it's not the best of times, but we'll see if these guys can turn it around.
What can a manager do?
Interesting question, because Pedro's going to take a lot of heat. Chris Getz is going to take a lot of heat. And, you know, those are the guys that are being paid in those positions to eventually take a lot of heat if things don't go well. And as we know, things not going well is an understatement to what's happening. However, I take a look at these guys on a daily basis. I am in the locker room. I am in the dugout and on the field. And I see that maybe 90, 95% of these guys are playing as hard as they can play. It's just not going particularly well. And one of the big problems last year, you might remember, was this team was out-homered at home. And the ballpark at Guaranteed Rate is made to hit the ball out of the park. It is a home run hitter's park. So when you don't have the thunder in your lineup and the opponents come in and they can out-homer you, it becomes very difficult to consistently manufacture runs, especially if you're a team that doesn't take a lot of walks. And so that's what happened. You look up and down this lineup, and they don't have home run hitters in this lineup. I think it's becoming one of the more valuable commodities. I mean, go out and try to trade for a meaningful right-hand power hitter, and you realize what the cost is. Or try to buy one on the open market. Again, you realize what the cost is for a right-handed power bat. As far as the Sox are concerned, meaningful left-handed hitters are a problem, because there aren't a whole lot of them in the organization. And I think you saw it last night with the Twins. Not a real good team either, by the way, and they've also had quite a lot of injuries. But they do have some meaningful left-hand hitters. And last night with Jonathan Cannon, I gave up 9 hits. 8 were to left-hand hitters, and there were some balls that were crushed in the gap. A couple hit out of the ballpark, and I think you see, against a right-handed starter at least, what meaningful left-hand hitters can do. And we saw it last night from the Twins.
You made mention last night of something that I wanted to follow up on, and it was the idea of Cannon needing to maybe take a little bit off of his fastball because he was struggling with it. How do you develop, like, as a pitcher, when did you start figuring, all right, okay, I'm a little wild or more hittable when I'm 95, 96 versus 92, 93?
Well, first of all, let's look back and realize that I was never a sinker baller. I was a high fastball pitcher with a curveball, and I threw a lot of fly balls. So when the wind was blowing in at Wrigley Field when I played for the Cubs, it was great. When the wind was blowing out, well, I gave up 5 home runs to Cincinnati in 2 1/3 innings. And when Jim Marshall came to take me out, he said, that's enough. I said, the record is 6. I'm only in the 3rd inning. And he said, yeah, well, that's enough. And he brought in somebody else. So, yeah, it was very tough for me throwing fly balls. But for a sinker baller, you might notice some of the sinker ballers actually get better as the game moves along, and they get better because of a little bit of fatigue. If you throw the ball at 93, and we saw last night with Cannon, when he threw the ball at 93, the ball sunk, and he was getting ground balls. But he was psyched up, as you would be in your second major league start after a good first major league start. Then you get to 96, and all of a sudden that ball flattens out. And all of a sudden those ground balls that were being thrown now are line drives and fly balls. That's not Jonathan's game. So I felt, in looking at the velocities and watching the ball, the first time out, everything moved. Last night he had some pitches that didn't move, and most of them were 95, 96. So he'll learn. I mean, he's still a very young pitcher with a really high ceiling. I mean, I like his attitude. I like his stuff. Last night wasn't his night, but, you know, when you're shut out, and last night was the 8th time, by the way, as you know, that's never happened before in the history of baseball. So when you get shut out, you're not going to win anyway, and you gave up a couple of runs. That doesn't help, but there was no way to win that game last night, as we eventually saw.
The other thing I wanted to ask you, because you brought up the idea of right-handed power, I wasn't expecting Andrew Vaughn to, you know, to turn into Manny Ramirez, but I was expecting him to be farther along at this point than what he is at the plate. What are you seeing, and why is it not working for him?
Well, there's a couple of things, and it's not lack of work, because Andrew is one of the hardest working guys on this team, and that's why I tell you that, as frustrating as it is for the fans, and it's really frustrating for them, it's more frustrating for the players themselves. And if these guys weren't working, you'd say, well, it's a pretty simple fix, just work a little bit harder. They are working as hard as they can work, and it's not just working out. As far as Andrew is concerned, you get anxious when you don't start out as well as you wanted to start out. And so then you start expanding your strike zone, and that's a problem, because on sliders low and away that nobody can hit anyway, Andrew's been swinging at those, and then he's been swinging at the face-high fastball, and pretty much swinging at pitches that when you're going well, you just look at. You know, you take your walks, and I always say that you can tell when a hitter is just about ready to start to break out of whatever malaise he's in. He starts to take walks first, then starts to hit some line drives. You hope you found some holes. And then all of a sudden he becomes the guy that you thought he was going to be. So it's a slow start for Andrew and many of the guys on that field. It's not for lack of work. I do know that. And as far as what will happen, we don't really know. We do know that this team is challenged for power, and I'm looking and don't know exactly how it's going to come about. But you remember the old days of the artificial surface stadiums, like Kansas City and St. Louis, and ironically, Whitey Herzog built both of those teams. You couldn't allow anybody to come in with more speed than you have, because they were speed ballparks. And if you're playing in a home park where home runs are king, and you don't hit home runs, then you've given a tremendous advantage to the opposition coming in. And the Sox last year were out-homered at home. They were under 500 at home. And this year is not starting out particularly well, and one of the reasons is they're not hitting the ball out of the ballpark.
I know you like catchers who can catch.
Yes.
Can this catcher catch?
By this catcher, which one are you referring to?
The once defensive positive Martin Maldonado, his skills appear to have eroded with age.
Well, there's a couple of things that come into play. Number one is the intellectual pursuit that a catcher has, and Martin was almost like a player coach with Houston. So he understands the psychology of a pitcher, and he's able to get pitchers through areas that maybe some other catchers aren't. However, the physical aspect of his catching has deteriorated. There's no doubt about that. He doesn't catch every ball like he used to. He still blocks pitches well. He still understands how to call a game, which is one of the reasons why he's been playing. But the batting average at 050 or something along those lines, not a ringing endorsement to get more playing time. And I think Corey Lee actually will start to play a bit more. He's shown he can swing the bat. He's shown that he can block pitches. He doesn't have a backlog like veteran catchers would have of understanding each and every type of pitcher and how to get the most out of them, because good catchers are almost like a psychologist. They're almost like a pitching coach. They can go out, look in a pitcher's eyes and understand where he needs that kick in the butt, or understand where he might need, you know, an arm around him saying, hey, look, you got this. You can get this guy out. There's no doubt about it. And this is how you do it. And you tell him, and things work out pretty well. So Martin is still valuable. But as a catcher who's going to catch maybe 70% of the time, I don't think those days are with us at this point. I think you'll see more of Corey Lee.
Speaking of Maldonado and what's going on with him behind the plate, he seems to be doing some of the stuff that Grandal used to do, because Grandal was known as a framer, and he'd miss pitches because he was trying to snatch them. Can a pitcher ever talk to a catcher about their framing?
Well, there is no doubt that the Sox have a plethora of catching coaches, and I understand what you're getting at. I also believe that Grandal just couldn't catch the ball. I know that he was known as a framer, but I would like him to have been a catcher and a blocker and a caller and all the other things that go into being a catcher, which Grandal wasn't. A lot of it has to do with his knees and the fact that if you catch a long time, your knees are just going to lose a whole lot of elasticity. They're not going to be real good, and it's going to be tough to move on either side. But, yeah, Grandal turned out to be a bust, as we know, a four-year bust. And bringing in Maldonado, he has a different skill set. And I also think from a psychological standpoint, he's more valuable than Grandal, because I think that Martin really understands the science of catching. So the physical aspect of it, look, Father Time is undefeated. It's untied. Father Time is going to get you. It's just a question of when it does.
Yeah, but Stoney, I'm just saying, like, could you go and be like, hey, cut it out. Like, just put the mitt there and just catch it. Don't worry about framing it. I'm going to be fine. Like, just catch
it. It's like you tell a wide receiver, secure the catch.
Well, that's if you have a veteran pitcher who's been around and has the gravitas of being around a while, you might be able to get away with that with a catcher. But it should come from the manager, the catching coaches, and somebody else saying, look, let's forget about framing, because we have seen that as good as it can be, umpires have a tendency to miss pitches anyway. And so don't worry about framing, worry about catching the ball, because you have to limit the pass balls and the wild pitches. So, yeah, a veteran pitcher can do that. For a young pitcher, they pretty much go along with whatever the catcher is going to call. And as far as framing the ball, it's not really up to them to say, hey, just catch it. Don't worry about framing. I'll take care of the strikes.
How concerned are you about the deterioration of Andrew Benintendi? And this is, I mean, last year he was a negative WAR player. This year he's cost the team nearly a win. He has the lowest WAR on the team. He's 29 years old. So is he hurt? Or is something else going on here?
I really don't know, but it is. It's cause for concern, because he's your highest paid player. Everyone knows he signed a five-year, $75 million contract. But that is irrelevant to everyday play, because I've never known a player to go out there on a daily basis and saying, hey, if I strike this guy out, I'm going to make more money next year. It doesn't work that way. Everybody who's gotten to the major leagues has won wherever he's been, or he wouldn't be in the major leagues, because this is the pinnacle. And with Andrew, as far as not hitting home runs, that could be a product of having a lot of wrist problems over the last couple of years. One of the things that you have to realize, however, is that if you do this game fundamentally, even if you're struggling with the bat, you can still help the team a number of different ways. You can help it by running, and Andrew has decent speed, not great speed, but decent speed. You can certainly do it with the glove. And that's one of the areas that's been disappointing. It's not only airmailing the cutoff man just about every other time, but it's missing balls that he used to be able to catch in left field like the other one in Philadelphia. And I understand the wall's coming up. These guys are professionals. Benintendi was a terrific left fielder at one point. He is not that way now. But because he started off like this, it doesn't mean this is going to continue. Right now it is cause for concern. There's no doubt about it. And when the team is not scoring runs, everything becomes a big moment. If this team scores 11 runs and you miss the cutoff man and you win the game 11-4, nobody really cares. But if you lose that game 4-3 because you airmailed a cutoff man, because you let the trailer on a play go to second base, which the Sox do ad nauseum, by the way, which takes you out of a double play situation, it's an easy throw to hit the cutoff man. It's a tougher throw to airmail him and try to throw somebody out because, one, you're not going to throw anybody out with a rainbow throw from whatever field you care to mention, and, two, you're going to let the trailer go to second base. So we saw it even on a double early in the ball game last night. We saw an airmailed cutoff man, and then we saw a double score the run from second. Now, would that run have scored from first? We'll never know. We know for sure it scored from second. That's a result of an airmailed cutoff man.
Stoney, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Okay, boys, hopefully this turns around because right now the Cleveland Spiders are looking like they were a good team.
Yeah. Stoney, thank you.
Take care, boys.
That's Steve Stone. Good stuff in there, man.
Oh, yeah. Andrew Benintendi should never be trying to throw anybody out. He should always hit the cutoff man.
Because he is a terrible arm.
Because he can't throw.
He can't throw. And he
can't throw and he can't hit for power.
And I will tell you, that botched
rundown,
the hot box.
That was hilarious.
That's a high school play. That is a play you run in high school where it's first and third and you just walk off and you make them make the throw. You make them time it. And I understand in, you know, IHSA, April, a cold night on a cold, rainy field with bad lights and bad dirt and like the what's expected and what's not expected. But on a major league field, come on.
And they're
come on, you're big leaguers.
Just getting out.
You're big leaguers.
Are they, though? Only because this team exists are most of those guys big leaguers. Let's keep it a buck.
Well, Zach Remillard has been DFA'd.
It's too bad.
Yeah, poor.
He's a nice little story.
And Danny Mendick is up. He's 30.
I like Danny.
Hey, he's hit 5 home runs in a row in Charlotte, where everybody hits home runs all the time because
except for Lenine Sosa.
It's like a little league park there.
Or Oscar Colas.
The Cubs are in a weird spot right now.
Yes, they are.
The Cubs made a move, too. We will talk about that and figure out why it feels, as well as they're playing, why they feel close to crisis?
Yeah, it's something, it feels off when you're watching the Cubs.
Yeah,
like it's not.
Something...
But maybe that's what it's supposed to look like early on, and they're still a winning team. It's just something's
How
not...
many winning teams have a veteran starter who you can't play anymore and a closer who blows all of the save opportunities?
Well, the good news is one of the worst teams in baseball is in town. Filled with a lot of talent, but bad. So take advantage. We'll talk about that next here on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Here's the pitch, drilled in the air, trouble deep left center, all the way back and gone for a home run. And the Marlins have taken a 3-2 lead. As I look at the flags, they are not blowing the way they have been almost all day. De La Cruz with a home run and Miami with their first lead of the day. It is 3-2 here in the ninth inning.
It ain't the flags. It's the closer.
Yeah?
And you got to keep the ball in the park. Everything we're talking about, the stuff we're talking about with Ian Happ, about limiting slug, the stuff we're talking about with Steve Stone, this is the coin of the realm, and you've got to be on the right side of it. Too often, Adbert Alzolay has not been, and it's why it feels like the Cubs, as good as they are, as well as they're playing, and sometimes their relentless offense can look like they're just going to never make outs. But there is an underlying weakness to this team that's got to be addressed.
Which is?
You've got bullpen problems. You've got pitching problems. You're running out of pitchers right now. And calling up Matt Mervis is great. And I don't know what it means for Garrett Cooper. Trying hard to look like Garrett Cooper.
Cooper!
But I don't know. There's... You need arms. Like, I know there's going to be churn, and we know there's going to be, but it's not sustainable right now to keep doing what they're doing.
It was kind of like Alzolay was found money last year, where you're trying to figure out, well, who's going to step into that role, and then he steps into it. But every year there's an example of a bullpen is a living organism, and unless you are a dominant lockdown guy, most people are out here, you're searching for trying to get those last three outs. You can't have that. I still think the Cubs are a team that are still playing with the margin a little bit. And so you can't have that if you didn't spend money, like big money, to go and really just take the National League Central.
And part of the problem, too, that I have, I know we're celebrating Shota Imanaga.
Yes.
Because the guy's, worth 8 WAR already. His numbers are terrific. I am terrified.
Of the regression?
I'm terrified of warm weather. Yeah. Terrified.
Yeah, he's a candidate for Yakutao.
Yes. Which is Japanese for, oh, my neck snapped back because another ball has just been hit over my head. He's a fly ball pitcher. What was Steve Stone just saying? I love Shota, but I'm worried about him because of the kind of contact that he generates with everything. It's about to start warming up. That ivy turns green. That ball starts to fly.
At least at this point, he's still getting people out, which is not what you can say about Kyle Hendricks. Not getting people out. And then having to go back out there again.
I'm terrified about Hector Neris. The one guy, there's your irony. They did spend. You think veteran, high-leverage bullpen arm, and all of a sudden he's struggling to throw strikes, and when he does, he's wild on the strike zone and getting hit.
So I ran into this on Sunday as I was driving back from the parents' house. I was listening to the pregame show, And Craig Counsell said this to Zach about Adbert Alzolay.
You know, at this point, Adbert needs confidence for sure. And I think he needs like good innings and good outings just for confidence. So that's probably job number one. Because I don't think there's things that are like really far off or big changes that need to be made. But I do think when, you know, you've been in the situations Adbert's in, it shakes your confidence. Like, that's normal and that's expected and that's okay. So we'll work on that. And that's based on some success and maybe some lower leverage stuff and then go from there.
So a lot of that going around with the Cubs. You're going to run out of low leverage opportunities for people.
And the issue with Adbert is that when there is contact, it's hard. His career soft contact rate is 16.3%. Last year, his soft contact rate was 17.3%. This year, it's 3.2%. When they swing the bat, when people make contact against them, the ball flies.
Would you like to hear more analysis on Adbert Alzolay?
Yes.
Lance Brozdowski, he actually talked about this morning with Mully and Haw.
It's a curious case, too, because the slider's always been the pretty dominant pitch for Alzolay. And this year, it's not working. If you look at where the damage is being given up, it's all bottom third of the zone. And that's generally where the pitch worked well last year. So I don't have – it's not one of those things that I look at from, like, the data perspective and go, oh, okay, yeah, like, you just got to change the location here, or, like, the shapes of the pitch is different, or it's not as hard, or the velo's down, which you often see in back-end guys, and I think oftentimes you can ascribe a lot of issues to that. So I'm not entirely sure what the fix is. I think that's maybe something internally that they're trying to figure out right now is what's going on, whether he needs another pitch to supplant the slider and keep hitters off it. Does the usage of the slider need to come down, which I don't necessarily think is the case because that pitch is the best pitch he has. So this is one of the situations where you just got to get him right, and you probably have to take him out of the role. As to who supplants him is probably more of an interesting question. I mean, Mark Leiter Jr. has been the best reliever in the bullpen right now, but when I think of closer, I unfortunately don't really think of Mark Leiter Jr. just because the fastball's not that great. The splitter is amazing, though, so I almost think it's maybe more of a matchup thing where you kind of peek at who's coming up. Maybe use the NC, who's been really good versus righties, or use MLJ, who's been good versus lefties, and kind of go from there and see if in the meantime you can get Adbert right.
You know what I wish? I wish Craig Counsell didn't have to earn his money so quickly.
He's managing hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really is.
I wish that Craig Counsell didn't have to take that $8 million a year and turn it into magic by, okay, well, I've got to find low leverage. And I get that this is a manager's job. But the hope when he was brought in was that he would have a better team. And you make up the difference in some of the games that you should have won last year because he's a better manager, maybe the best manager in the game. The fact that he's got to already be out here doing backflips and whatnot to try to get this thing to work is a little scary to me.
And it's scary for a manager to wake up every day and not know the back end of your bullpen.
Yes.
That's the worst thing. Joe Maddon used to talk to you about it all the time.
It's where he started, knowing that I got that covered. Now we can figure out how to bridge the starter to that.
One of the phrases I hate the most in baseball is closer by committee. And whenever you have that situation, it's very nerve-wracking to watch a team get out of a jam at the end of a game, whatever, and it becomes very, very just exhausting.
Yeah, some of these Cubs games, I'm counting outs. I find myself, look, is this okay?
Who's
six,
available?
Right, I'm like, okay, eight? We got eight outs we got to get here. How are we going to get these eight outs, however many it may be? You know, you look at, okay, nine feels like a lot. I'm like, all right, well, eight feels like, okay, seven. And now, okay, now we're done. Now six outs. And it's April.
Yes, it's April, yeah. but we all know that you don't want to give away those games just because it's April. This goes to the bigger point that Jed talks about all the time. Blowouts are great. because it offers you some more low leverage situations where you can have Adbert work on some stuff. You can have Neris work on some stuff. You can even let Kyle go another inning because you have a 7-run lead. Unfortunately, that has not been the case. There isn't a lot of that going on.
And then you get to August, and Mark Leiter Jr. is
thrown 60
like, yeah,
times.
Yeah,
right.
my arm hurts, and my legs are tired, and my shoulder. Like, well, yeah, because we had to use you every single day. There's only one of him, and like you heard Lance Brozdowski say, that is not a guy who people are like, well, that locks down the last three outs of the game. No, it doesn't.
No.
As good as he's been, you don't feel that way.
I really wish that Council didn't have to manage this hard.
We've got High Noon coming up next. Don't forget, Who's Your Guy at noon.
This is
the week of Who's Your Guy. So we're very excited for that. And excited for Cubs baseball as well on the score, because tonight the Cubs begin their series against the Astros at Wrigley Field. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:05. First pitch 6:40. And you can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. When we come back, I have... awesome. Well, you did print it out.
Yeah, I wasn't kidding.
Wow.
Offense, defense.
Good for you. I'm still going virtual on this. And I'm,
yeah,
you know,
I get that.
Dude, I'm saving paper. See, I care.
Paper was already there.
I care about the, yeah. See, I didn't have to chop down any trees.
Neither did I. It was already there.
Ah. Right, but.
It was right there. Because most people don't use paper anymore.
We have advice from our elder, and I guarantee if you're listening, he is your elder, advice that I just love because of how honest and practical it is.
I would like to talk about Brian Urlacher, known quitter.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High Noon?
Time for High Noon. What did we talk about so far? Well, the strange announcement that came regarding the Bears unveiling renderings of a new lakefront domed
Although it
stadium
wasn't
tomorrow.
Actually from the Bears.
It was from whom?
PR company,
yeah,
guy
representing whom and
well, the
what?
Bears eventually sent something out.
Yeah, but not the initial.
Not the initial.
This is all weird. And to do this when you're 2 days away from drafting Caleb Williams, I don't get it. I don't know what's going on. I'm very curious as to who's going to be there, what interests will be represented, where the friends of the parks may be, what the mayor is trying to glom onto here to save his teetering regime. So it's all very odd, and I don't trust any plans regarding a Bears lakefront property until they are breaking ground. We also had conversations with Ian Happ and Steve Stone and talked about the situation the Cubs find themselves in, where they're pretty good at baseball, but they almost feel on the brink of crisis when it comes to the pitching.
It's time.
I ran across this yesterday. It's on Graham Benzinger's show, who I always have found...
Where did he come from?
That's a great question. And I've met him. When I worked at Channel 5, I remember them being like, oh, he's got to be on Sports Sunday because his show is on afterwards. And I'm like, where did he come from? What's the background? He gets all the big names, though. Does good interviews. He did one with Brian Urlacher. This is before the hair, though. So it's a while ago. But the reason that I brought it
in... a long time ago if it's pre-hair.
Yeah, but I brought it in because I had always wondered about this tattoo, and now I got some answers on why Brian Urlacher is all barbed wire.
So you're a big, intimidating dude. I mean, 6'4", 250. Tell about this barbed wire tattoo that you have.
I got it when I was 18 years old. I don't know why I got it. I was a skinny runt back then, too. I thought I was tough. I got it the spring of my freshman year in college. I was 18, so this next year it'll be 18 years since I've had it.
So tell about why it fails to go all the way around your arm.
It did. It used to connect right there, and then my arms got bigger.
Oh, really?
No.
I was told no, something else.
It hurt like hell, man. He was getting in there. He goes, it's going to hurt. And I was like, all right, cool. And he got closer. I said, I don't want any more. Just make it look. And he made, if you look, it makes it look like it connects and goes into my skin right there. No one ever sees the inside. You're not supposed to. But it hurt like hell. I was only 18. You know, I wasn't very tough back then. So I didn't get it finished.
Brian Urlacher, known quitter.
See, I have a tattoo on the inside of my arm. I don't remember it hurting all that much. The one on my forearm hurt a lot worse,
When
actually.
Did you get it, though?
Late 2017. So maybe different.
Maybe his skin was a little more sensitive back then.
Studs was already Chicago tough at that point.
Right.
Well, Urlacher's not that much older than me either. So I don't know how much technology changed in the 10 years between our tattoos.
Also, consider, right? I imagine yours, where'd you get yours?
In the city.
He got his somewhere in Lovington, New Mexico.
Yeah, so maybe it was in someone's garage.
We're just saying some.
It's not going to matter. It's all the same stuff, though.
It's all the same stuff that they use.
I'm saying that he might not have had the most technically proficient tattoo artist.
Yes, okay. That's true. And I guess in his defense, this one on my and that I have inside of my arm had a lot of shading, so there wasn't as much of the needle. The thing they use to shade isn't as intrusive on your skin. But still, when he was using the needle, it didn't hurt that much.
It seems to me like he needs to go back and get that done.
Should probably just get it removed.
At this point, the whole tribal armband barbed wire thing.
Barbed wire, I'm tough. Also, he was like, I thought it made me tough.
And the thing about getting tattoos removed is it hurts more than getting the tattoo, so he probably won't want to do that.
Have you guys figured out where Graham Benzinger came from?
AI.
Okay.
He doesn't exist.
No, he exists. I've actually met him.
See, I understand the guys like when Byron Allen, like the Junketeers, like what Martin Short made fun of with his Jiminy Glick character. Like, you can get all the big names when it's all softball.
No, but he's
interviews.
Like going to people's houses,
right?
And stuff.
And he's doing, it's almost like Roy Firestone stuff.
And maybe 10 years from now, 20 years from now, he will be Byron Allen.
And where did Roy Firestone go? Remember, that guy was like everything, and then he just disappeared.
Is he still with us?
Yes.
Or did you kill him?
I did not kill Roy Firestone. I believe he's...
All right, so look, if Roy Firestone is dead, Dan owes us another $5.
No, he's not. Wait, hold on a second. You're getting me coming and going on this.
Look, you can't do that. Either you got to know or you got to know.
I think he's alive.
He's alive.
All right.
Yeah, yes. He's alive.
All right, no $5 this time.
The man's 70 years old, alive and kicking.
Right, and he was... Mr. Interview Guy.
Mr. Make You Cry. And then, that was the whole bit in Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, and then he wasn't. And I don't know what he does.
Well, then
now.
This is what Roy Firestone did. He went to artificial intelligence and created Graham Benzinger, and it is really him.
Okay.
It's usually when someone, you're like, oh, I remember da-da-da from da-da-da. And with Graham, it was just like, I'm sitting down with Jerry Rice. And according, it's like, who are you?
Quickly,
like,
according to Wikipedia, it says that Graham, during his junior year of high school, interviewed O.J. Simpson, and that was his big break.
So here's the thing. I was literally going to say O.J. Simpson, and I was like, I probably shouldn't say O.J. Simpson. Of course he interviewed O.J. Simpson.
There it is.
So Juan Vicente Perez died. He is dead, for sure. He was 114.
Look it up. Might be $5 in it for us.
So Juan Vicente Perez of Venezuela died at 114. And that left Gisaburo Sonobe of Japan as the world's oldest person at 112. And now he's dead. He died March 31st. So we congratulate John Alfred Tenniswood, He's now the world's oldest man.
That feels made up.
John Alfred Tenniswood, Englishman, is 111. He still eats fish and chips every Friday.
That sounds good.
But here's what I love from the retired accountant and great-grandfather. And, of course, we have all the obligatory commentary on moderation. He doesn't smoke. He rarely drinks. But this is what is awesome. He said about his advanced age, three words here. It's pure luck. Captain Variance, he's off saving other worlds now, but from wherever he is, Captain Variance salutes you, John Alfred Tenniswood, because you're right. He said it's pure luck. You either live long
or prosper,
or you live short, and you can't do much about it.
Yeah, I think that's a very positive way for Lord Alfred Tennyson to think about it.
John Alfred Tenniswood.
Oh, Tenniswood.
Is right. It's pure
bloodlines.
Luck. It's variance. It is luck. And somewhere, wherever he may be, Captain Variance brings randomness to our universe and is looking for large sample sizes. And regression to the mean.
And looking for love in all the wrong places.
And that is High Noon.
Oh, wait, one more thing, real quick. Congratulations to A Tribe Called Quest. They are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, cool for them. And Foreigner.
Yes.
Dave Matthews, too.
Well, that makes it less legitimate.
Dave Matthews Band. Excuse me, not just Dave Matthews.
But actually, you know, Foreigner, they had a great run. They had their peak value, like their Jaws score, is probably pretty high. If you look at their run of hits, Lou Gramm and the boys out there still getting it done, I think. Lou Gramm alive? Alive. Alive. I'm declaring Lou Gramm alive. Is he alive?
See?
Please be alive.
I'm glad that you're now thinking of him. Congratulations to the Foreigner. I'm sure for them it feels like the first time.
Alive. Yes. Yes. Yes! Next up.
Do the thing. You have to do the thing.
Oh, I have to hit the button. Open the phones?
Yeah. And then you have to close out and then open back up the phone line so that I can see the thing.
Hey, all right. Hold on.
You're out of practice, sir.
I haven't died. Look.
All right, there we go.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now reopen it.
Oh, I'm doing it.
It does.
All right, reopened.
Phone lines are open.
Open.
You can call Ray right now at 312-644-6767. It's time. Who's your guy next on The Score?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.